You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Nobody likes when people say, I told you so, but I think LeBron James has the right to say, I told you so. Get to that coming up here in a moment. Phone calls, always welcome. We'll check in on the Bucks and the Nets. That's coming up tonight. And, boy, they got to do some pretty good playing there to kind of top what we saw last night. So Nets-Bucks game six tonight. Hawks beat the 76ers in one of the biggest comebacks in NBA playoff history. They're up 3-2. The Clippers over the Jazz, they're up 3-2. We'll touch on those teams, those games coming up. Before the season, LeBron James criticized the NBA for condensing the offseason during the pandemic. And earlier this week, he reminded everybody of that, saying that's the reason why we're seeing so many stars go down with injuries. Now, the NBA started the season just 71 days after the Lakers won the title. The league defended itself by saying that the injury rates are normal. I think that maybe they're exacerbated because these are big names getting hurt, high-profile players getting hurt, not just role players. It's hard to look at the basketball analysis of this because the health issues, what's going on, how it's impacted the each of these series, but it's pronounced because this is such an even field now. It feels like it's wide open, and with all these injuries, everybody has a chance to win a championship this year, or it's, you know, at least get to the NBA title games. It's wide open. It feels like the team that's the healthiest has the best chance to win it all. Last night, you saw a Clipper team without Kawhi going into Utah, and I think surviving the first half was the biggest reason why they won the game, because Utah was unbelievable from three-point range, and they held. They were only down 5 points. Clippers down 5 points, 17 of 30 from three-point range in the first half for Utah, but the Clippers only down five. That's because of Paul George. Paul George had 22 in the first half. And because of that, I'm thinking some doubt starts to creep in a little bit with the Jazz. You're at home. You're killing it from three-point range, but you're only up five. And Paul George is starting to get on a roll. I don't know if Kawhi's going to play the next two games. Now, Adrian Wojnarowski of the Mothership said it's unlikely Kawhi's going to play. If there is, now there'll be a game six if there's a game seven. But if you're Utah, you had your opportunity. They don't have Kawhi. Now you still do, but you got to win that game. And then, you know, worst case scenario, you get to come back home for game seven. And then we have the 76ers. Oh, congratulations. Well done. Well done. If you turned the game off at halftime like I did, you probably went, wait, I'm looking at the bottom line, and it's got Atlanta leading late in the game. And I went, how is that possible? Atlanta scored 16 in the second quarter, and I go, all right, well, maybe they can extend this, going back home, and they can win, and they can force a game seven. That'd be nice for a team that nobody gave any credit to going into the playoffs. Nate McMillan's done a wonderful job as their head coach. And so is Ty Lue with the Clippers. I know we tend to focus on the marquee names, the bigger name coaches. These guys have made adjustments. Imagine you're down 26 in Philadelphia and you don't panic. That starts with a coach. Imagine you're up 26 and then all of a sudden you start to lose the lead. And then you panic. Because I thought Joel Embiid, that's one of those, he's going to get his, and not much we can do about it. Maybe he gets tired, and he looked tired in the second half. It's not an apt analogy, but I'll use it just because it came to mind. When George Foreman fought Muhammad Ali, and this was the famous rope-a-dope, and George is just hitting him with everything he's got, and Ali is just on the ropes covering up, and we thought the referee's going to eventually stop it. Because you had to. Ali was going to get hurt. But this was his game plan. Give me everything you got. And then you're going to tire yourself out. And then Ali knocked him out. And Philadelphia took everything that, or gave them everything they had in the first half, and then all of a sudden, second half, they looked tired. Ben Simmons looked tentative. I mean, you had Seth Curry was the best player, second best player on the floor. Tobias Harris, where are you? And then Doc Rivers. I mean, Doc Rivers, you can't let a lead like that at home dissipate. And he did. Here's Doc after the loss.
Listen, we scored 19 points and gave up 40. So it's on us. It's on all of us. It's on me. It's on the players. And we have to figure out how to get back up, which we will, and bring this game back here for game 7.
Well, he has no other choice. The Hawks comeback, the biggest in the NBA postseason since the Clippers rallied from 31 down to beat the Warriors back in 2019. That's the third biggest comeback in the last 25 years. Ben Simmons said something interesting. He said what I think he thinks. I was surprised he said it publicly.
Even though you've never been the best free throw shooter, do you feel at this problem, at this point, your problem is more mental than the form?
Definitely, I think mental. We were up. We had it. And I think we just gave it to them. We got too comfortable and didn't play the way we should be playing.
Now, I don't know. It was a free throw question. I don't know if he was talking about his team saying it was mental, because the answer doesn't match the question. But if you start to buy into this is mental, and I think it is at the free throw line, he's 4 for 14 last night, 22 of 67 for the postseason. He's shooting 32%. There's only one other player in NBA history who's taken at least 40 free throws in a postseason and shot worse, and that was Ben Wallace. That was back in 2006. And Ben can't shoot at all. Ben shot 27% from the line for the Pistons. Let me go back to what LeBron James was saying. He's saying, hey, this quick turnaround, and you're going to have guys get hurt. You're going to have these soft muscle issues. They shorten the regular season. But I don't know what else they could have done here. Now, what LeBron is saying is there's truth in there that there are players who are getting hurt. But these are the marquee players. If you had role players who were getting hurt, then we wouldn't be talking about this. But you have big name players who are getting hurt. Therefore, it's impacting these series. But also understand this. If the NBA came back to LeBron and the Players Association and said, hey, how about this? How about a 55-game postseason? I mean, understand the regular season. Understand the emergency state that the NBA was in during the pandemic. No crowds. Going to lose all of that money. Players still getting paid. They shut down midseason. If you say to LeBron and everybody else, how about you guys take a 25% pay cut? You're going to play in fewer games. We can start later. Who's going to sign up for that? No one. That's why when LeBron says this, you got to listen at least to the other side of the equation here. This is a bonus. This is a bonus for them to get paid during the pandemic, and they don't have to play all the games. But it's a business. These owners are saying, we got no fans. We took a huge financial hit. And LeBron says, hey, you made us turn around, play all these games. But LeBron is not going to forego 25% of his salary. Just not going to happen. Over the last three seasons, LeBron has played 167 games out of 225. Now, he played all of the postseason games. Kawhi, 169 out of 226. Joel Embiid, 166 out of 227. Anthony Davis, 154 out of 225. Kyrie, 141 out of 226. They all miss lots of games. It's not just this year. These guys are all taking time off because we've allowed them to do it. Whether they're hurt or not, you can stay out longer. Donovan Mitchell stayed out longer. James Harden stayed out longer. Maybe LeBron stayed out longer. Nobody's giving any money back here. And I think that's where both sides have to look at this and say, what are the economics here? How do we make this work, still protect our investment, keep our stars healthy? And I don't think anybody is going to go, let's take less pay for less games. Yeah, Steve.
But would you rather see the stars in the NBA play more games per season but less seasons, or more seasons, just less games per season? I'd rather see them play for a longer time. Like, I would, if Larry Bird had shaved off 20 games per season but played five more years, I would rather prefer that than...
Yeah, but you're saying, now you're saying, let's reduce the regular season, and if that's the case, then I have to reduce your paycheck. Are you okay with that? That's the point. Is LeBron okay with taking 25% less pay if it means he can play more seasons? Because as an owner, like, I gotta make money somewhere here, or I can't keep losing money here. And I don't think LeBron or any of these stars are going to go, let me take 25% less of $42 million. Not going to happen. Yeah, Paul.
If the NBA would have started in January and given, let's say, the players three more weeks of rest, right, this season, that means the NBA Finals would have spilled over to August. It's going to be played in mid-July. That means if it's, you're bumping it back to August, that means the offseason for next season is shorter.
Yeah.
Right? It never ends. If you keep pushing it back, you're just pushing back games against yourself. The NBA did the best. They cut the games. They did everything, and they're trying to get back on track.
I don't like seeing Kawhi out or Embiid hobbled, James Harden missing games, Anthony Davis. We want to see the stars. LeBron with a sprained ankle. I don't know if a sprained ankle, you know, that the quick turnaround had anything to do with that. Same with Kyrie. Kyrie stepped on, you know, somebody's foot. LeBron, same thing. Kawhi's got a bad knee. Had nothing to do with this offseason or the quick turnaround. Joel Embiid, meniscus tear. But he hasn't been in great shape. Anthony Davis has not been in great shape. James Harden has not been in great shape. So I'm giving these guys all this time off. They're not in great shape. AD needs to get in better shape. Harden needs to get in better shape. Embiid needs to get in better shape. Kawhi with that, you know, he's going to have that arthritis or whatever he has the rest of his life in that knee. Kyrie, I mean, he's checked out for a couple of times for we don't even undisclosed reasons here. LeBron is durable. You know, LeBron wanted to win the MVP this year. Now, he wants to win it every year. I think he wanted to prove a point. He wanted to play in all the games. He didn't want to have load management. He wanted to show these other players. Did that factor in him getting a sprained ankle? I don't think so. Yeah, McLovin.
You know, maybe we notice it more this year, but usually it's LeBron against the Warriors or some form of that. We didn't care that the seventh and eighth and ninth playoff teams had injuries. This year, it's so wide open that everybody's in play. So maybe there were this many injuries, but who cares if it's not Kevin Durant in the playoffs? I mean, why would we care if Donovan Mitchell was hurt 3 years ago?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we tend to focus on the finished product, and that is who's playing for the championship. And then when you have Klay Thompson get hurt or Kevin Durant get hurt, then it becomes like that affected who won the championship, not what happened in the first round or second round or even Western Conference Finals.
Has there been a lot of finals that have been affected by injury? I remember Magic got hurt, right?
Yeah,
and KD.
Yeah, and Klay. Like it's impacted that. Oh, Todd has got a limerick today, and it's the Hawks and the 76ers. Now, the guest to limerick ratio is every guest, you get a limerick.
And so I get at least one.
You get one because we had one when we started the show. And then we have Frank Isola agreed to join us here. So you're up against a break. Can you squeeze it in here, Todd?
I think I can.
Okay. You know what? How about we just test this? Let's take a break, and then when we come back, we'll do the limerick.
Do we share it with Frank Isola and have him weigh in, or you'd rather get it out of the way before you're into it?
No, no, we'll do that before we get to Frank, and then we'll just see if the audience wants to stay in their car so they can wait for this limerick. How's that?
So we're going to keep track of how the numbers either jump or fall over the next few minutes.
Oh, I can hear those clicks. Oh, my God. No, stop.
I told him to stop having to do limericks. I'm out.
Let's take a break. We're back after this. We'll check in with Frank Isola with the Nets-Bucks game coming up tonight. Back after this. It's something amazing. No, not Todd's limericks. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn. That's amazing. In fact, it's even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing that word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I hope you're still with us.
Try to sell it.
Todd has a limerick. I believe this is based off last night's game.
Between 76ers. The Sixers and, yeah.
Okay. All right. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. Here is your limerick.
Game 5 had the looks of a joke as the Hawks appeared to be broke. Danilo and Lou came to play. Don't mean to take that away, but make no mistake, that was a choke.
All right. And that's a limerick. Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
Poll question before I get to Frank Isola.
Which team is kicking itself the most after their recent loss? 76ers 1, and then the Bucks are number 2, Jazz 3.
Frank joins us. He's the Nets studio host on Yes. He's also SiriusXM NBA Radio, the starting lineup. He contributes to Around the Horde, and pardon the interruption. Let me start with a poll question. The team that's going to kick themselves the most after last night, the Jazz or the Sixers?
It's going to be the Sixers. They were up 26. The Jazz would be second, and I would put Milwaukee third on that list. So even though Milwaukee played, you know, a Nets team that Harden was clearly not himself, it's still Kevin Durant. So you're losing to a guy having a tremendous performance, and we all know that he's capable of it. I mean, come on, if you're Utah, you're showing up for work in your own building, and Kawhi Leonard's not going to play, and then if you're Philadelphia, up 26, how about the way they played down the stretch of that game? I mean, it's the numbers are off the charts. Think about it, Dan. The fourth quarter of the last two games, Embiid is 1-for-10, and Tobias Harris is 0-for-5, and Ben Simmons has not attempted a shot in the fourth quarter of games 4 and 5. That's remarkable.
Do you have to take him off the floor now late in games?
I think you do. I think once the Hawks get to that fourth foul, I think you got to take him out. If I were Atlanta, I'm not going to intentionally foul to get to my fifth foul. But once I get four, I don't care which quarter it's in, I'm going to foul him. Because you could tell it's clearly in his head, and it's affecting the Sixers. And the fact that they're going to be on the road. Ben Simmons, I give him credit for this. At least he faced the music last night. He was in front of the media, and to the media's credit, they asked him a lot of questions about his shooting and specifically his free throw shooting, and he stood there and he answered all the questions. Embiid did not meet with the media, but Simmons has to do something. This is now becoming it's one thing for it to happen during the regular season, occasionally in the playoffs. Somebody had a great stat, Dan, that he's already missed more free throws in 10 playoff games, I think it's 45, than Steve Nash missed in his entire career in the playoffs. He missed 44. This guy's already missed 45 in the playoffs. It's hard to believe.
And I know Doc Rivers is trying to say the right thing about Ben Simmons, and he's a unique player, and he's a great player. But I can't you're not a superstar and a liability. You can't be both walking on the floor in the same game.
Yeah. I also think, you know, Shaq struggled with free throws, but you never had the feeling that Shaq was nervous about going to the free throw line. And I think the same thing is true of Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's not a good free throw shooter. Giannis isn't worried in those moments. But when you're not taking a single shot in the fourth quarter of the last two games, when your team blew an 18-point lead and a 25-point lead or a 26-point lead, what does that tell you? To me, it's like he's – I don't want to use the word afraid, but it seems like he's afraid to step up to the free throw line and take those shots. That has got to be a major concern. But you're right about Doc. Doc's doing the right thing. He's going to stand by his player. But this is up to Ben Simmons. He has to figure this out somehow.
All right. So do you have the Clippers figured out now? Because I don't. You know, in the Dallas series, I didn't. Even in the bubble last year, I still didn't have them figured out. Now you don't have Kawhi. Woj says Kawhi's probably doubtful for games 6 and 7, if there is a 7. Yeah. But so now it's Paul George again, and then, you know, that supporting cast.
Yeah, you know, I've been hearing it's a significant – they worry that it's a significant ACL injury, so who knows when we'll see Kawhi Leonard. I give Paul George a lot of credit. You know, he gets mocked a lot, and he did not play well in the bubble. I don't like the way the things that he said about Doc Rivers, especially after Doc Rivers had gotten fired. But he's had a couple of big-time performances. Yeah. To go on the road, this was all about the Utah Jazz. They have to win that game. I have not had – the Clippers figured out. I will say this. When Marcus Morris plays well, they seem to play well. He's a tough guy. He knocks down big-time shots. Utah completely fell apart last night. They're shooting in the second half. I think they were 3-for-24 on threes. I don't enjoy at times watching them play. When they're moving the ball around, they look good. But there are times when they're just settling for long, deep three-pointers, and it backfired on them big time in the second half.
Frank Isola, he covers the Nets, their studio host on Yes and a contributor to Around the Horn. Pardon the interruption. Let's focus in on your Nets. What do you expect tonight?
I'll be interested to see how many minutes Kevin Durant plays in the first half. You know, he went 48, obviously, in the last game. I think he's going to come out at some point in the first half of this game. If it's a 10-point game in the fourth quarter, does Steve Nash decide to maybe pull the plug at some point and say, you know what, let's just rest up for game seven? I do think that Harden will knock down a couple of shots. He just, I give him credit for being out there for 46 minutes. He just didn't have it. He was never cutting to the basket. 8 of his 10 shots were threes, which told you he was just settling. I don't think you're going to get 49 points from Kevin Durant. I think you will get a big-time response from the Milwaukee Bucks. I expect them to win this game. I think we're going to get a game seven, which will be a great moment. I just think Durant playing 48 and James Harden playing 46, I think that's going to catch up to the Nets tonight.
I was yelling at the TV the last game because of what the Bucks did and did not do.
I know.
Like, you have Harden out there. You don't take advantage of him. Make him run. Make him guard somebody. The Greek Freak had chances. He had James Harden guarding him.
I know.
And he doesn't take it to the hoop. He doesn't want to get fouled. He doesn't want to go to the free throw line. I mean, that's a flawed logic here, you know, during crunch time with one of the great players, a two-time MVP. Crazy.
Yeah, and I thought the Nets did a great job of attacking Brook Lopez. They kept getting him in pick and rolls, and he could not guard, whether it was Jeff Green, whether it was Blake Griffin, or if Kevin Durant turned the corner, Kevin Durant kept beating him to the rim. So the Nets were attacking Brook Lopez, and meanwhile, the Bucks were not attacking James Harden. And you're so right. Late in that game, when the game Durant had finally missed a shot, it was just under 2 minutes to go, and Giannis had the ball, and he's shooting a fadeaway jumper along the baseline. It's like, come on. I love the guy. He's a terrific guy. He's a self-made player. But some of the decisions that he makes late in games, it just drive you nuts. And I also thought a little thing, too, late in the game. When they were down two, I'm talking about Milwaukee, with under 25 seconds to go, I'm going for the three there. Because I'm thinking, if we tie the game, Durant will probably hit a shot at the end of regulation anyway. And if we have to go 5 more minutes, Kevin Durant's going to end up with 60 points. Forget about 49 points. I would have gone for the three. I get it. Chris Middleton made a good play driving into the lane, and then Giannis fumbled the ball. But you know what? Go for the win at that point, because at that point, you would have been lucky to get out of there with a victory.
And I've still, and I mentioned this yesterday, I've been watching the NBA for over 50 years. I don't understand how the best player on the floor doesn't face a double team to get the ball out of his hands. Not once did Milwaukee truly double team Durant to say, you're not beating us. If Green beats us or somebody else beats us, then that's fine. You're not beating us. I go back to when Jordan hit the shot against the Utah Jazz. I was watching it the other day. I'm yelling, and I know what the end result is. They didn't run anybody at Michael Jordan. I don't understand this logic, Frank.
I know. And if you go back to, I think we were probably at the game when Indiana played the Lakers. It was either game 3 or 4 in Indiana. And when Shaq fouled out, Kobe took over, and they had Larry Bird had Mark Jackson guarding Kobe, and they never ran a double team at him to get the ball out of his hands. It was so frustrating to watch from a Milwaukee Bucks standpoint. And also, put Giannis on him at some point. You watch the NFL, they put the best cornerback on the best wide receiver, for crying out loud, to try to stop him. In the fourth, I get it. You don't want to get Giannis in foul trouble early in the game. I think in the fourth quarter, he either entered the fourth with 2 or 3 fouls. So he's not going to foul out at that point. You got to put him on Kevin Durant. Get the ball out of Durant's hands and make guys like Joe Harris, who couldn't make a shot, make him beat you. I get it. Jeff Green had probably the game of his life. But, you know, it's a little bit different when you're taking those shots in a 1-2-point game as opposed to when your team is down 15 and you're wide open and shooting.
I just mentioned LeBron James had comments saying, hey, I told everybody that we were going to have all these injuries here. Do we have all these injuries or just injuries to marquee players? And Anthony Davis is not in shape. That's why he got hurt. Kawhi has been bothered by that knee for a long, long time. James Harden wasn't in shape this year. So when you had a sprained ankle by LeBron, doesn't have anything to do with your conditioning. Kyrie had a sprained ankle, nothing to do with your conditioning. So, you know, LeBron, you kind of want it both ways. Hey, can you limit the regular season here? But they're not offering to give up 25% of their pay. So yeah. While I understand it was a quick turnaround, you had guys who weren't in shape to start the season, and these players aren't going to give any money back.
Yeah, and I think Kawhi was at 52, 53 games this season. So that was not a wear and tear situation. Same thing with Kyrie Irving. He was in the low 50s for games played. So yeah. Same thing with Embiid. Embiid played 51 games this season, then has the torn meniscus. So it's not like only Jokic played 72 games. Everyone else, you know, was in the 50s or the 60s. And if you're LeBron, you're a big part of the union. You guys agreed to do it. To your point, they want it both ways. So you wanted to make all the money you could, and now after all these guys are getting hurt, and there have been a ton of guys that have missed playoff games, you're saying, well, maybe we should have cut it back. To me, that's up to the NBA and the union. I think they blew it. I think they should have played a 60-game season. I think right now we should be in the NBA Finals. I think the season – I mean, Dan, we're not out of the second round yet. And think about where we are on the calendar. When I look up and I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm going to be working July 4th weekend, which I'm used to doing covering free agency, not like being at games. It's going to be a little nutty.
Yeah, I mean, even throw in Embiid. He's never really been in shape. I give him credit. He's playing.
Playing well.
The meniscus tear. But a lot of these guys, Donovan Mitchell, that sprained ankle is still there. Like, that's not conditioning. I think sprained
contact
ankle
injuries.
Is just, yeah. So that's why when I hear this with LeBron, do I want the NBA decided because of injuries? You know, who's the healthiest? No. But, you know, when KD went down or Magic got hurt in the finals against the Pistons, I mean, it happens. It's unfortunate. Klay Thompson goes down. You don't like it, but that's part of the game.
And I think, too, you know, I think back in the day, the old school guys, if they had, it's one thing, like Magic had the hamstring injury, couldn't play. And Harden obviously had to miss some games because of the hamstring injury. And Kyrie Irving obviously can't play now. But I do think there used to be, if guys were banged up a little bit, they just played and they didn't want you to know about it. Now, guys, they play hurt, and if they have a bad game, they make sure at their post-game press conference they ask you about it. I always say this about Patrick Ewing. Patrick had bad knees, obviously. If you ask Patrick Ewing about his injury or his knees, he would give you the death stare. You're like, no, don't go down that road talking about my body, how I'm banged up and I'm hurt. I think guys now can't wait to tell you, well, the reason I didn't play well is because I'm dealing with this situation. I think there's a little of that at play as well.
But you also, with gambling, don't we have to know this now? Now
yeah.
It's full disclosure that I need to know what's going on with, you know, the fact that Tom Brady had knee surgery in the offseason and was not on the injury report due to his knee during the regular season. Like, that's not supposed to happen in this, you know, world of gambling.
But I think a lot of it, too, is gamesmanship. They don't want you to know that. So
sure.
The Nets, I thought it was gamesmanship with them when they announced that James Harden had been upgraded from out to questionable. I thought that was something they would just wanted to mess with the Milwaukee Bucks. But if you look at Harden's career, we're talking about guys that don't play. You look at his career numbers of games played. If he's healthy, he's out there, but you're 100% right. And I love Harden. I love the way he plays. He showed up out of shape in Houston. So forget about the, you know, forcing his way out. He was never in shape, and you have to think that probably impacted his hamstring somehow. But if he can, he'll be out there, and he showed that the other night with 46 minutes.
Have fun tonight, Frank. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dan. I'll see you guys.
Frank Isola, the Nets studio host on YES and SiriusXM NBA Radio, the starting lineup. And he contributes to Around the Horn. And pardon the interruption. A couple of phone calls in here. Dominic in New York. Hey, Dom, what's on your mind today? Hey, Dom.
DP the GOAT.
Hey,
first
Dom.
First time, long time.
Yes.
5'9", 160. I'm a lifelong Nets fan, so I've seen it all. But I can't help this morning but to think, if I were a Sixers fan, how annoyed I would be if I were paying $30,559,200 for a stat line of 8-4-9 in a Game 5 playoff game. Keep up the damn work. Keep up the work.
Thank you, Dom.
Dan Nets, appreciate it.
And keep up the damn work, too. We'll do that. Phil in Indiana. Welcome back, Phil. What do you have for me?
Hey, Dan, always a pleasure. Good news for you. I have no limericks, so
yes.
That's a good sign to start.
Yes.
Hey, real quick, Dan, there's two things that I saw last night that's almost making the NBA unwatchable. Wanted to get your thoughts. One is the Hackaben. They started it with like 8-9 minutes to go in a quarter. And at one time, four of Philadelphia players are down at their end with the ball. Ben Simmons is like down at the opposite free throw line. And Herter's like yelling at the ref, "I'm fouling." And they weren't even down at one side of the court. So I think they need to address the Hackaben rule. And then the other part, Dan, is those fouls that Trae Young gets where he like leans into somebody. It's barely contact. I just think, Dan, there's no flow to NBA games anymore. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Always a pleasure, Dan. Thanks again.
Yeah, they're going to take away that advantage for a couple of these players. And it's really only a couple of players. James Harden and Trae Young are the ones that take advantage of the unnatural shooting motion where they just want to – they create the contact, and they're going to get rid of that coming up this next season. Yeah, McClellan.
I still don't understand. I could tell you how to get rid of it. Don't blow your whistle. I mean, these aren't fouls, so why do they have to add a law saying don't call a foul that's not a foul?
Well, I think you have to give the defender at least – This has to be 50-50. And I think that, well, a lot of times what we do is we give credit to the offensive player. And I think we've gone overboard with that, where Harden will get you up and then he'll jump into you. He could jump to the side into you. Reggie Miller made a career out of doing this. So these guys aren't the first to do it. But Trey will actually be dribbling. You'll be behind him and then he'll stop and back up and create the contact. Now, do I find it creative? Absolutely. But if it's an unfair advantage, it's not a basketball move, you want to get rid of it, then get rid of it. Yeah, McClellan.
But I was railing against that landing space thing in college basketball and pro. That's part of it, too. Like, I saw a foul, a guy didn't even touch him in the playoffs.
But landing space is safety. That's what that's about.
Isn't this connected to the two, though? Like, that's why they're giving these crazy calls.
But if you pump fake me and I go up, I should still be able to go straight up. And if you jump into me, is that a basketball move? And that's open to interpretation.
Right, but if a guy takes a jump shot and you don't even touch him and you just happen to be within an inch of his landing space, is that a basketball? Would you call that in pickup? No.
Well, not in pickup.
But what's the difference? It's 100 years of basketball. They've never called that until 2 years ago.
You don't call 3 seconds in a pickup game.
Can you imagine if someone did?
Hey, 3 seconds! Call it! There's no referees here. Yes, Paul.
My favorite is when like a Trae Young does a pump fake and then the defender goes up straight. He jumps into him and the defender lands and keeps his hands up in the air for 6 to 7 seconds as if I keep my hands up here, the ref is going to rescind this call. And he keeps walking around the court with his hands up as if he's been robbed.
Yeah. Jesse in Atlanta. Hey, Jess, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Hey, DT, 61260. Just wanted to shout out, say thank you for all the hard work. I know it's been a tremendous year for y'all. We should have had a few trophies in our hands, minus McLovin. I think if you got rid of him and sent him packing, then we might actually have a trophy. He's that one person, like Chris Middleton, that is not performing at the highest level.
Okay.
He asked the same question of you about 3 or 4 times a minute ago. And McLovin, that step-in shot has been going on for about 30 years. Dan answered it for you. Reggie Miller started that. Furthermore, McLovin, you've been railing about how bad of a trade Luka and the Hawks made with Dallas when they got Trae Young. Are you eating your words yet? Because Trae Young is the only guy that Dan said needed to step up and make this playoffs productive. And furthermore, I called in back before the trade happened with Julio Jones. And there's been a lot of rumblings going on. And I don't know if it's a secret with y'all, but there's no secret down here. Matt Ryan and Julio never got along for the last 4 or 5 seasons. So I would like to challenge Dan, more so Fritzy, because I'm surprised Fritzy didn't get on the horn. I mean, I know he does a good job. He works hard, but there's moments where he works on limericks more than phone calls. And basically, why is no one asking Matt Ryan, why did you run your best receiver, probably one of the best receivers that we have had in the NFL within the last 8 to 10 years, out of Atlanta and in a better situation with a team that's probably going to go to another round in the playoffs?
Well, okay, so, and thank you, Jess. That's a lot to unpack there. I agree with you on all the McLovin stuff. But did Matt Ryan run him out of town, or did Atlanta make a smart business decision? Like, I'm not sure if, you know, Matt Ryan, maybe he didn't get along with him. I know that Julio Jones made Matt Ryan a whole lot better as a quarterback. So if I'm Matt Ryan, I love Julio Jones. Look at the numbers. Look at his quarterback rating. It's significantly better when he throws the ball to Julio Jones. That guy didn't, Jesse didn't like you, McLovin.
Oh, yeah, he really, that guy's on top of it. That really stings. Wow.
But if Matt Ryan ran Julio Jones out of town, like, that's news to me.
I didn't totally understand the Trae Young, Luka Doncic thing either. I wasn't quite sure which side he was. Well, he on Trae Young's side,
yeah,
or Luka Doncic?
Yeah, he's saying that, hey, everybody's been critical of this trade.
And why did he call me Chris Middleton? That was random. I was like, oh, it's an angry Bucks fan.
Well, Chris Middleton is an all-star, though.
That's true. I take his salary.
Yeah, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Let me take a break. More phone calls coming up. 877-3DP-SHELL. And if you'd like to bash McLovin or you rip Fritzy's limericks, yeah, feel free. Call us. Say hello. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
U.S. Open getting underway at Torrey Pines. I always like to see who's playing the clubs that I play with. Epic Driver. I got one for just about everybody. Epic Speed, the fastest Epic, and the better players use the Epic Max LS. There's great forgiveness with the Epic Max. You can check out the Epic family of drivers, CallawayGolf.com/Epic. A marine layer, as they like to say. A little fog there has delayed the start of the U.S. Open. By the way, this is one of the longer golf courses that they've ever used for a U.S. Open. It's almost 7,700 yards. It's the second longest layout in U.S. Open history, behind only Erin Hills, which was just a couple of yards longer. That's from Pro Golf Weekly. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. Our good buddy Tom Curran, he covers the New England Patriots. He had a little back and forth with Bill Belichick yesterday. And, you know, Tom not afraid. And they were going back and forth on Stephon Gilmore and his future with the Patriots. And here is that exchange.
What level of crisis would you put this at? I'm saying it's about a 1.8 right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really do levels.
You should. It makes things so much easier.
Everybody wants a number.
Everybody wants a number. All right. Well, took a run at it.
All right. Took a run at it. Yeah. The future of Stephon Gilmore in New England, I guess, is up in the air. And do you trade him? And what can you get in return? Yes, he...
I'd imagine Belichick gets a kick out of Tom Curran. Probably. You know when he calls on him, he's going to get something like, okay, here we go. Yeah, Tom.
Yeah, Tom. Is Belichick smiling at all in this exchange, Paulie?
At the end where Tom Curran says, I'll take a shot at it. You see a bill go, like a little upswing.
Well, it's not the regular season, so maybe you get a little chuckle out of him. Here's one more about Coach Belichick if he reached out to Tom Brady after Tom won the Super Bowl.
Jimmy Garoppolo had said you stayed in touch with him, including congratulating him when he led the 49ers to the Super Bowl. So I was just wondering if, like Robert Kraft, you've reached out at all to Tom Brady this offseason to congratulate him on winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, again, Chris, I think I'll keep those conversations privately between myself and the other people that are involved. Appreciate the question.
Oops. He's going to keep that private, but... the Jimmy Garoppolo congratulations, he'll make that public. It's got to be so difficult to ask a question there because you can almost feel it. You certainly hear it in the reporters' voices, where they're just going, you know, let me take a shot. Let me just, I have no idea what I'm going to get. I may get shut down, may not answer, maybe a yes or a no. Let's see what we have here. It was 2 years ago today, we had the great actor Kevin Costner in our New York studio. And, you know, I said to Dan Entz, I said, look, it's Kevin Costner, big-time Hollywood star. If you guys want to ask a question, and it felt like Paulie was going to be the spokesperson for the Dan Entz. And, you know, we were going around the room to ask Kevin Costner questions. And I thought, all right, this will be fun. You know, you can say to your wives that, hey, yeah, I got a chance to talk to Kevin Costner today. It didn't go as well as Paulie thought it was going to or it was intended to. But here is the big windup by Paulie and the pitch to Kevin Costner.
I watched Field of Dreams just again the other day. Everyone loves that movie. It's got a lot of legs. It's going to be around forever. But I was wondering, when you're getting pitched Field of Dreams, when they're pitching you, you're at your peak of stardom. Do you ever think, this could be really silly?
What, do you think I peaked? What are you talking about?
No, but like you were...
Whoa, we can't do that. Yeah, we can't.
No offense.
I mean, okay, Paulie, you can't say that, and you can't say that, Kevin.
Did you see what he said to me?
He said you peaked.
Yeah, you said you peaked.
You misquoted me. You were...
Okay.
Wait, what did you say,
Paulie? You just said you were.
So, okay.
Don't you push me down.
Never, Mr. Costner. But did you ever think when you got pitched the idea for Field of Dreams, this could be really...
Nobody cares about his answer after that. But Paulie, he went back. He wanted to get his answer to with Kevin Costner there. Yes, Eden.
Matt, after that, though, after Field of Dreams, he went on a run. He did Dances with Wolves. He had that Robin Hood movie that was, I think, pretty big. JFK, The Bodyguard.
So he didn't peak prior to that.
He had not yet peaked. I believe his peak was just after. It was in the next 5 years or so.
Paulie suffered from premature peakness. And Costner was not going to suffer fools there. Yes, Todd?
But were any of those, to take Paulie's side, were any of those movies better than Field of Dreams? They were blockbusters or whatever. Maybe a lot of people went to go see them. But The Bodyguard with Whitney Houston and Dances with Wolves, didn't that kind of get ripped by a lot of media?
I thought that somebody won an Academy Award for Dancing with Wolves.
Yeah, it won Best Picture.
Yeah. You never watched any of these movies.
I did not see
Dancing with Wolves. You should not be involved in the conversation. Yes, Paulie.
Getting told to F yourself by Kevin Costner. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not like a B-level actor.
Yeah.
That's some Hollywood status there.
Yeah. Did we put that on the Sports Emmy reel 2 years ago? Yes, McLovin.
That was Yellowstone Kevin Costner that Paulie saw, like the mean character in Yellowstone.
Yeah, that's when's the next season coming out with Yellowstone? That's got to be probably at some point at the end of the summer. Looking forward to that. Yellowstone, great series. Cliffhanger at the very end of last season. He gets shot. I'm not going to tell you what else happens there. All right, final hour coming up. More of your phone calls as well. We'll hear from Trey Young after an incredible performance last night. Take a break. Final hour coming up. One more item, second hour, rockauto.com. Man, if you're looking for parts, they're looking for you 24/7. Rockauto.com has the correct parts for both old and new cars. You don't waste time and money hunting for the parts. You're not phoning, you're not driving, you're not waiting in lines. Rockauto.com. And tell them we sent you. Write Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. They'll take care of you. All the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com. This is a family business founded back in 1999 by automotive engineers. They know the business. They had two goals in mind when they started out. First, give you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, making the parts affordable. They offer reliably low prices. You can't just pour 10W30 oil into just about every engine you like over the last 30 years. They have specific oil, transmission fluid, antifreeze, and all the other chemicals your car must have. Tell them we sent you. All the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com.